What's going on, Tile friends? Welcome back to another live recording of the podcast, Tile Money. This is the podcast where we are strengthening the tile industry one contractor at a time. We are educating tile contractors by interviewing other tile contractors and business men and women. And this education is assisting tile contractors to build sustainable, profitable businesses. This is good for everyone. This is good for the industry. So we've got another great interview for you today. We are going to be talking about intention and empathy and compassion and women in the field. A lot of good topics to get into here. We want to unify the trade and we want to talk about emotional intelligence as well. So before we get into the interview though, into this discussion, I would like to thank our sponsors, the National Tile Contractors Association, the NTCA. This is where you will meet some of the most recognizable and profitable and sustainable business owners in the United States. The NTCA has been an organization since the 50s, 1947, in fact, and you can join them today by visiting them at tile-assn.com to find out more about what they have to offer. I want to thank Laedicrete International for being a sponsor of Tile Money. Laedicrete, of course, has some great products. They're a very innovative company. They've recently came out with SpectraLock 1, the single component grout that acts like an epoxy. So that is very exciting. And I love Laedicrete's family values. They're a privately held company right here in the United States. They invented Thinset. I mean, what more can I say about them? Beautiful company. And then GoBoard is another sponsor of ours. GoBoard is a lightweight waterproof tile backer from Johns Manville. And this board is easy to cut with a knife, easy to handle, easy to install. You can build a complete waterproof shower assembly with their products. And time is money, friends, and GoBoard is designed to save you time and earn you more money. And happytileguy.com. Happytileguy.com is where you can get your website built designed for tile contractors by a tile contractor. All right, without further ado, let me bring on Jonna. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's my pleasure. We had such a great interview. What was it, like a couple months ago? And on mindfulness, and it was very popular, and a lot of people have listened to it since then. And we've been chatting, you know, on social media and on the phone and talking about different topics. And we both kind of, you know, felt like this today's topic, why don't you introduce today's topic and why it's so important?
Okay. I hope no one's rolling their eyes. I guess I can't see them if they are. So today we're going to talk about a few different things that kind of tie in together. We're going to talk about women in the tile industry and the construction industry, specifically tile. And we're going to talk about the importance of empathy and emotional intelligence and really how to unify our industry. And I think you and I, you know, we've really talked about a lot of stuff is going on right now in our country and politically. Definitely not going to talk about politics, but the beauty of our industry is that it's made up of such diverse groups of people. And sometimes we just have to put a little extra intention and a little extra effort in finding, you know, our common traits and what unifies us, as opposed to, you know, what separates us. Mm. And if we kind of use that mindset as guidance, we're able to accomplish limitless things. You know, we can be more successful in all aspects of our lives and build better relationships at work, on the job site, and relationships with, you know, other people in the industry. And as a woman, you know, I don't want to make it sound like we have such different views than men do. We're all in this together. We're all dealing with the pandemic. We're dealing with, you know, trying to keep our businesses afloat. And, you know, you and I have talked about this. It's so important to have dialogue. And so if we want to kind of talk about some taboo subjects between men and women in the construction industry, you know, that would be great. Let's have dialogue with the intention of really unifying our trade.
I love it. And everybody who's listening, we've got about 15 people with us live right now. And so don't hesitate to put your comments or questions in the, wherever you're watching this, either Facebook or YouTube. And let us know what your thoughts are. You know, I really love this subject, and we've seen in almost every day people post how they're losing friends on Facebook for, you know, differences in views, you know, whether it be politically or, you know, the COVID thing or all these major, major issues. And I really think, you know, if we could just learn to put ourselves in that other person's shoes for a minute and understand like, hey, I don't understand what they've been through. I don't understand their viewpoint. Maybe I can ask a few questions, you know? And that's really the goal here today, is to encourage that, right?
Absolutely. Great lead into that. So I think, you know, one of the things that has come up, and it's important what you said, you know, people are very argumentative right now. And, you know, we're scared to watch TV. We're scared to go on social media. And what's been happening, I've noticed, and this again is going to kind of lead us back to women in the workplace, women in construction specifically, a lot of groups have popped up recently for women in the tile industry and women in the construction industry. So there are a couple Facebook groups. One is Tile Chicks and one is Women in Flooring, specifically for the tile industry for women. Mm-hmm. And there is another one called Move Over Bob, which was founded by Angela Cacase, who's been an unbelievable pioneer in really using this platform to share success stories of women in the industry and bring more women into the construction industry. And this is not about victimhood, about saying, oh, how hard it is. She really wants to, you know, promote success and overcoming obstacles and things like that, and really open dialogue. And one of the things I'll share, like the secrets of these groups, is especially for the closed groups on Facebook with women, is that, you know, it's a safe space. And we always talk about safety on the job site. You know, we have our safety protocols for physical safety, but we also want to have emotional safety, a space where it's safe to talk about things. And, you know, politics has become a very unsafe topic. But there are so many things within that. If you really peel down all the layers, with when people feel very strongly about things, especially things about which they feel angry, it usually anger and fear. It all, if you peel down the layers, it's fear of losing something that's dear to them, you know. So we do have, if you peel down all the layers, whatever your views are, we have this common, you know, goal. And when we're on a job site, you know, stuff happens. And I was talking about women in the trade. And the reason I bring it up, not just because I'm a woman, but because there are obstacles that, you know, we've had to overcome as women. And I mean, I know everyone does, you know, when you're building a business, and I love Tile Money because it's about your whole goal, Luke, has been to really promote the industry, bring the industry up a notch, give resources to people. And
it's kind of interesting you mentioned the safe space. And I realized at some point that what I had done for tile contractors was create a safe space to talk about their business. And it sounds so funny, but in other groups, it was almost like a joke. If somebody wanted to talk about business, and it was very touchy. And I hope that I've created that safe space. I know people still say stupid stuff. Look, it's Facebook. It's a free platform, right? So we get all kinds of people. The moderators, we do our best to, you know, to moderate and to keep it clean and to keep it positive. I would like to emphasize though, that it could always improve, you know? So that's why this subject really is, you know, I'm passionate about this subject as well.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right, by the way, that it is a safe space. And, you know, a lot of times people are scared to ask questions either because they sound stupid or because someone doesn't want to share information. And you absolutely have addressed that. I mean, the questions that we see are things that new business owners, existing business owners, seasoned business owners, and installers want to ask, but we don't always have the opportunity to, and it is a safe space. And so I think what we should really kind of emphasize is this discussion today is a safe space to talk about things that might be difficult. Mm-hmm. And also I'd love to kind of include some skill sets and some things to consider to help promote empathy and emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. and to help us work better together and connect. I mean, one of the, you know, kind of biggest punishments that we've felt throughout the pandemic and the lockdown and the limitations on our, you know, ability to live a normal life is the lack of human connection. And I think it's so important that we value it and we treat each other well. And so, I mean, I can, you know, start to go into empathy, compassion, emotional intelligence, or
I would like to learn a little bit more about Move Over Bob. I've heard of, you know, the Tile Chicks and Women of the Flooring Business. I'm not in those groups for obvious reasons, but I'm proud of them, and I see that, you know, they're developing nicely, and I understand why it would be a need, you know, and why it would be more comfortable at times to address certain topics in those groups. Tell me about Move Over Bob.
Move Over Bob is amazing, and Angela and I touched base. We just kind of reached out to each other on social media and realized we had some very similar goals in mind. And she really wants to bring more women into the construction industry and again, create this safe space. But she goes into detail and she tells stories and she does write-ups. She has other women contributing. And I mean, it's been very inspiring. And, you know, one of the things she mentions is that there are a lot of these huge groups, like if you go on LinkedIn, and this is not just for women in construction, this is for any group. And mm-hmm. so you can join the group, and then there are thousands of people in their posts, and you don't really have that intimate contact and the ability, like you've created with Tile Money, to learn about people and see what paths they've taken. You might have similar obstacles. So she's included that. And I mean, one of the things is to inspire other women to get involved in the industry. And if you have any, I don't know who's on the, who's watching right now, but if you have vendors, I mean, they're very women specific marketing options for you guys. I actually, when I posted this yesterday on Tile Chicks and Women in Flooring, I said, is there any specific topics? And some women talked about, you know, tools that are specific for women, like rolling tools. There's a market out there. So if you're a rep or you're a distributor of any product, you know, think about that, because there's an amazing and expanding market. They talked about work gear and clothes that fit, knee pads that fit, you know, women have other issues, because a lot of times the tools and the products that we use are geared a little more toward men. And there might be, you know, products, clothing, knee pads, things like that, that are geared toward women. So these are just like some of the small obstacles. And, you know, again, they're totally surmountable, but there are obstacles. You know, one huge thing, and this is kind of an interesting take, I was looking at the statistics. A lot of people know that women in America earn about an average 81.1% on the dollar to men at a comparable or exact same job.
Interesting.
Same role. Yeah. Whereas in the construction industry, the gender gap is smaller. Women earn 99.1%, which is not okay, but it's a lot closer to what men earn. The issue is that there aren't as many jobs in leadership and in skilled trades for women. So a lot of women have started their own businesses. And I mean, there are, you know, this unbelievable women installers, incredible tile installers. I mean, my idols, you know, a lot of them are women in the industry. And so, you know, one thing we'd like to do is bring more women into the industry. And one of the ways we can do that is by saying, hey, you know, this is a welcoming place. It hasn't always been easy for me as a woman, but the tile industry has shown me incredible compassion and empathy and given me space, safe space, given me a platform. So, you know, I do want to encourage women to join this industry, because we're ranked better than the majority of the nation, you know, other industries in terms of pay for women compared to men. So that's kind of an interesting fact.
That's actually a huge fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, attracting, we want to attract the youth to the trade. I mean, we can put this out there, attract young women to the trade, because that gap is smaller. That's really cool. I talk to women tilers, you know, as often as I can. I interviewed a business owner, from Denver just, you know, a few hours ago. And I was asking her, do you think it's been an advantage or a disadvantage being a woman business owner in the tile industry? And she said in recent years, she feels it's been an advantage. And she was happy to share that in recent years, people are more, it's almost like her clientele is hiring her, for her skill for one, but also because they do appreciate having a woman in their house. She does a lot of remodel work, remodeling showers and stuff. And they kind of, you know, identify, different things, and she finds her client base. So I would say, you know, don't be shy, you know, to all you young ladies out there who are wanting to go for it, you know.
I will agree 100%. And I've been in this industry about 21 years, and it was hard at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I will say it was harder. And I think in residential settings, it's a little more open for mm-hmm. women. For Move Over Bob, one of the stories was about a woman who had a hard time. She just won't work on commercial jobs because it was such a kind of boys' industry, such a brotherhood. So, you know, but look, I do think things are also changing. They're only getting better for us. But I think one of the things is to just have dialogue about the things that are obstacles. I mean, you talked about dress code, you know. One of the things that a lot of women complain about is being seen as a distraction as opposed to an asset. Mm. You know, we're here to really bring something to the table, bring our skills. And sometimes, and I will say that's changing. And I definitely think the tile industry has been amazing at bringing women in leadership roles, but you know, we still got some work to do. And this is not just about, you know, men and women and as if we're, you know, so different. We work with diverse groups of people. There are a lot of immigrants in this industry, you know, lots of people, lots of our installers are from Latin America and Europe, and English is not their first language. And we really have to find that empathy. You know, I can go into a little bit about the specifics of that. And I think this is something that, you know, we can all apply to all aspects of our lives. And I mean, you know, when you walk away from this podcast, not just talking about it on the job site, but talking about, you know, when you read that post on Facebook that might be upsetting, or talking to love, you know, we choose our spouses, but we choose our friends, but we don't choose our family. We don't choose the people with whom we work. And sometimes these people are going to have different views. And, you know, I always think of an amazing example is, especially because all the stuff that's going on in the Supreme Court right now. And we have to remember that Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia were really close friends. I mean, they had, you know, they were polar opposites ideologically, their views, the way they voted. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say political views, even though judges aren't supposed to be political, but their ideologies. Mm. And they were incredible friends. For those of us in the Washington, D.C. area, we, you know, they're known for going to the opera together. Their families traveled together. And they really had a beautiful friendship that lasted decades, lasted until he died. And there was such compassion, such empathy. And, you know, a lot of people were surprised by it. I remember seeing an interview about them and thinking, why, like, they can do this at a very, very high level, you know, where their opinions matter. They set precedents and change laws. And, you know, we can do this. And I really want to use them as an example. So in talking about empathy, there's something that's beautiful to really think about. We are hardwired for empathy and compassion. I mean, it is natural to us. And so I'm just going to go into a little bit about just understanding what empathy really means. So empathy is it's something that is common to all of humanity and to other animals. And it's this unique psychological state that's different than sympathy. So some people kind of get them confused, but sympathy really implies pity. Empathy allows us to recognize emotions in other people and match those emotions or share those emotions to alleviate pain of other people. So empathy also helps us learn. It's one of the processes that helps us learn from others. So I'll go a tiny little bit into neuroscience and I'll make it more brain facts, not sciency, but there are these brain cells called mirror neurons, and neurons are just brain cells, and they're brain cells involved in mirroring behavior of others. That's how babies learn to do things. You know, they learn from others in their environment. And this also happens in adulthood. We're using these mirror neurons. So this is how, when we see empathetic behavior and compassionate behavior, we learn from it, we model it, we teach it, and then empathy becomes contagious. So, you know, weaving into the women in the workplace, you know, I've told you some stories, and I don't want to play victimhood here because that's really not the goal. But, you know, there were times where I felt very uncomfortable on job sites, certainly when I was younger, and especially when, you know, our business was just starting, and we were so desperate for holding on to clients, new clients, trade clients. And I kind of kept my mouth shut and dealt with some things that were a little bit degrading and hurtful. And, you know, I think now we can talk about them. So it's just important to notice, you know, think how you treat people. I mean, that person is a person. We've seen that a lot during the pandemic because we're seeing people for the first time as people. We're Zooming from home. We're working from home. We see babies crying in very professional meetings in the background. You know, we see these things that unite us as people. So, you know, so in going into explaining empathy, there are kind of two types of empathy. One is that hardwired empathy that comes programmed into our brains, called emotional empathy. And that's part of our limbic or feeling brain, that, and it's considered the hot form of empathy that happens subconsciously or unconsciously. And then there's another type of empathy called cognitive empathy, which is either a newer form of empathy or a more newly understood form of empathy. And it's unique to humans because we can actually bring on that empathetic state deliberately. So we can be deliberate. If we're not feeling it, if we're not already coming into the state of empathy and kindness, and sometimes it's hard, we can bring that in. And what, you know, experts in the field of emotional intelligence say is that the fullest empathic response recruits both types, the emotional and the cognitive type of empathy, and that promotes emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about emotional intelligence a little bit because we are in an industry that requires it. I mean, you know, we're very hands-on. We're dealing with people. Everything we do, I mean, most of us work, you know, if you're in the skilled trades, you're working with helpers, or there's a lot of teamwork involved. And so IQ, which is emotional quotient, that, you know, in what we used to call intelligence, is not the most important factor in success. It's emotional intelligence, or what they call EQ, emotional quotient. But this is the ability to, like, perceive emotions of others. And there are five components of emotional intelligence.
Before we jump in that, before we jump into that, it sounds like very good lesson. Before we get off the empathy subject, I had a quick question. You can help me work through this. I'm wondering, you know, you said that babies, even animals, are born with empathy hardwired into our brain. And I'm thinking, you know, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and as you're saying this, I'm thinking, you know what, that's true. My daughter from a very early age would, you know, if you know, she could tell if my wife or myself, even our dog, we have a little dog, she could tell that something was wrong. And she would come up and lay her head or her hand. You know, I mean, you know, I've allowed myself to be emotional in front of her as much as I can. And my wife, of course. What the heck happens? Where do we go wrong?
What happens in terms?
Because we see
beautiful. And I mean, how amazing is it to see your child showing empathy and instinctively knowing how to care for another person at such a young age?
But but then years go by, and
even today.
As a husband, I at times don't have empathy for my wife. And,
right.
You know, it's even harder for Facebook friends. You know, it's even harder for workplace. You know, what happens? What, you know, do you know anything? Can you shed any light on that? Like, where do we go wrong?
Absolutely. Well, you don't go wrong. I mean, it's human nature. All our emotions. So, and you know, I'm going to be speaking about mindfulness at TSP, Total Solutions Plus. And you know, there's a lot of, and we'll talk about this in emotional intelligence, but you know, there's self-regulating where we actually regulate. And what's really interesting is in those moments, so what you're talking about is when you're not able to feel empathy or you're angry and another emotion or another emotional state takes over. Mm. That is because you're, again, wired. It's how your brain's wired. It's how human brains are wired. So we are wired. We're wired for compassion, empathy, but we're also wired for survival. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this before on the last podcast, how we go into that fight or flight mode. Mm-hmm. So if you understand the brilliant part about humanity is that we have this prefrontal cortex, this thinking brain that, you know, is not part of the rest of the animals on this planet. So they have their limbic brains, their feeling brains. So they're impulsive. So what they do is generally what we call reflexive or by reflex. So it's automatic. And so, you know, if a dog feels threatened, it's going to bark. It's going to try to defend itself. And we do the same thing. So these are our defense mechanisms. And part of our whole system is that certain chemicals are made in the body. And when we feel threats. So if you are, you know, with teenagers, we're going to talk about teenagers, but you know, as your kids get older, I mean, young kids don't know they're not trained to understand certain things. They see the world, you know, through their own eyes as beginners, you know, these beginner mindset, but they also learn through these mirroring neurons. And what we can do is, I always say, use children as a lesson because they bring us back to, they kind of give us that perspective again, because we create these stories, these narratives. And most of the time when we're creating these thoughts that become stories in our head, we're feeling and sensing threats. So when you say you feel like you know you're in marriage, of course we have expectations, and then in some significant way we talked about emotional safety, we feel a threat to that emotional safety, and our way to defend ourselves is to protect ourselves. So that might be fight, flight, or flee. And we are reactive. And that's when we go, it's our amygdala, the panic button in the brain that starts sending signals out. When we self-regulate, we can actually use the body to control the mind. And that sounds a little bit strange, but it's really hard to use the mind to control the mind. Have you ever tried to stop a habit or an addiction or forgive someone when you're just by telling yourself to do it or to sleep? You have insomnia and someone says, well, you need to sleep or
meditate. I mean, maybe would be a
meditate. That is a way, even though we do use the body a little bit in meditation, we use breath,
but if we're not using the breath, if we're just using our mind, then it starts racing. And then we start thinking about why we can't stop thinking about this other thing.
Yeah. The mind is, you know, we need to learn how to control the mind or self-regulate using. So I always say use the body, and there are different ways to use the body. One is to do exhale, emphasized breath to bring us to get out of fight or flight mode and move into rest or restore mode. And I won't go into all the details, but another way is to, you know, reset. So you can just get up and walk into another room, turn off the social media, or when we're talking about the emotional intelligence, It's also a really interesting tool is to literally put yourself in the shoes of others mentally. Okay, so that is a mental process. There's actually something interesting. There's Dan Goleman, who is an author and a psychologist and a science journalist, and he's like the guru of, I mean, a leading voice in emotional intelligence. He wrote a Washington Post article a little while back about how he took this 50 block walk in New York City and in stressful Manhattan, you know, with all these stressed out, fast paced people. Mm-hmm. And he walked for 50 blocks and he wished thoughts. He made an intentional effort to send these thoughts of loving kindness to every stranger who passed by, sending them love. And by the end of these 50 blocks, he felt joy and, you know, sending this loving kindness creates what we call intrinsic rewards in the body. So not a reward like money, but it's a way to actually bring yourself joy. And when so as opposed to feeling threatened, you feel more in control when you're able to, I'm going to say self-regulate. And, you know, we don't have a whole ton of time, but just know, just by noticing in the moment when you're doing something, noticing that you're angry at your wife or you're reactive to your daughter, that is the first step in self-regulating. So you're actually giving yourself a little tiny pause. Mm-hmm. And that is where the change occurs. And remember, the brain has this incredible ability called neuroplasticity to change in response to previous experiences, to actually change the structure and function based on our experiences. So the more we repeat things and behaviors and thoughts, they become reflexive. They become habitual. They become reflexes. So every time you catch yourself, I'm not just saying screaming, I'm saying having a judgmental thought or a cruel thought, just tag it, say, oh, judgment or anger. And that gives you that little pause button. So, you know, these are ways to remember that we have this, remember that deliberate option for empathy. We can find that. And I don't want to.
Nice. That answers the question though, really beautifully. And thank you for taking the time to do that. Right. Yeah. We've got to get out of that fight or flight mode.
And then, right. And with young kids, I mean, you know, it's not easy, but it's a wonderful opportunity to learn about yourself too.
Yeah.
They're amazing little teachers, children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even when, you know, we're dealing with people who think or act differently than us, it's like we're upset. Oh, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they're going to vote for that guy, you know,
right?
Or whoever, you know, and it's just like, oh, I can't, you know, and then calm down, put yourself in their shoes.
Right. And that's hard. But the one thing is, remember, if we peel down the layers and like, I don't want to talk about politics, but even if we go to, you know, most of the political arguments that we have where we're super, really set in our belief systems. If you peel down the beliefs and say, well, why do you want this? Why do you want that? What is your hope? We all want something good to live a better life for our families. If we could bring it all down to that really basic level of human needs, that is what we share. So if we can let go of all this stuff that covers up those basic human needs. So, you know, those different political views, we'll call them. If we really come down to the basics, we all want the same things for each other. We want to make a living for our family. We want to have loving relationships. We want to be heard. We want to be praised. We want to feel human connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of us want that. Every single person wants that. It's something that is really universal to people. And it's very easy to focus on, you know, things that are, that tear us apart. And this is also how we create groups, right? So we can share in the judgment. I mean, this is how those cliques in middle school form, right? All talking about one other person or another group together. And we have to be careful of that. Because even with, you know, compassion and empathy. You want to be very generous and abundant with that, not only feeling it for one specific group or people that look like you or act like you or were raised like you or come from the same background as you, but rather for other people, because, you know, we do have, if we focus on it, we have a hell of a lot in common with a hell of a lot of people,
right?
You know, and that's something that we forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing just to point out is sometimes we find ourselves really bonding with people over very incompassionate behavior. So we can go really hard on how much we hate a group. Mm-hmm. But if it's based on hate and anger toward any group, that's where you can press that pause button and say, yeah, I'm really connecting with this group of people, but all our connections are based on anger or hate or judgment for some other group. Not a really healthy way to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every part.
That's so true. We had an interesting comment from a Facebook user. We don't have their name here, but they say that, you know, as a person with Asperger's and zero EQ, they've managed to do well. So don't mistake lack of recognition for lack of caring.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much for that. I actually, in 2014, I started a nonprofit called Disability Inclusion Guild. And so DIG, and we have a program, we have programs called Gotta Dig It. And they are to break social barriers for people with differing abilities and different communication skills. And one of the things we do is we teach empathy, and we really get mainstream society involved in that. And so it's really important to understand that people express feelings differently. People express and show praise differently. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And, you know, that's a really important point to also think about, to consider limitations. We all have different limitations, and sometimes they are how we express things. You know, some people are more verbal. Some people don't have language skills. You know, this might be second or third language.
Right.
And I really mean all different levels of skills. So I have a nephew with Down syndrome and autism. And, you know, with Down syndrome, there are physical characteristics. So people know he has Down syndrome, and they are generally very compassionate because their expectations are he may not be able to communicate super well. But with anyone on the spectrum or with Asperger's or with any type of differing abilities and different communication skills, we don't always know what someone's going through. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who stutters. Mm-hmm. She stuttered. She really worked on it. She's incredible. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for her to communicate. And I haven't spoken to her in a long time, but I remember talking about this with her, and she's just a deep and wonderful, beautiful person with so much to teach. Mm-hmm. And some people miss out because they don't give her a chance. And we really have to kind of think about not jump to conclusions. We often jump to conclusions about people. So, you know, with empathy, the whole concept is sharing the emotions of someone else. We may not have the same experience as someone else, but chances are we felt to some extent the same emotions. Everyone's felt picked on. Everyone's felt isolated. Everyone's felt alone. Everyone's felt disconnected, maybe bullied at times. And so, you know, even in talking with women on the job site or anyone who feels like they've suffered some adversity, use that to bring compassion to others. That is how we spread it. And that is how we make this contagious.
Mm, right.
Yeah. And we feel good. I mean, it literally creates hormones in the brain. They're different. I'm sorry. Hormones in the body and chemicals in the brain. So, like when we feel human connection and this kindness and compassion, there are different types of chemicals in the brain. They're the here and now chemicals, like oxytocin that we feel when we are connecting, like when you see your 4-year-old daughter and we're connecting with another person. And these things actually bring us joy. So acting compassionately and empathetically are the number one way to really bring joy into our lives. And it can help with depression, chronic states, and just, you know, emotional, all different types of emotions.
Yeah.
So there's really, this is like an endless source of how to thrive in life if we can be empathetic. And really, again, sometimes it does have to be deliberate. I mean, there are times where we feel very loving and kind, and there are times where it's a battle, where we're so defensive. And if you take note, usually when you are feeling defensive, you, if you peel it down, peel the layers down, you are threatened in some way, whether it's you're self-sabotaging, you're telling yourself a story that you're not good enough, that you're not achieving enough, that you don't fit in, whatever it is. Take a moment to pause there and say why, if you're having a hard time with compassion and empathy, chances are you're feeling threatened. Mm. And then ask yourself, is this a story I've created in my head? Mm. We do create stories.
Right, right.
Lots of stories.
That's incredible. That's good stuff. Yeah. So share what you're going through is what you're saying in order to bring light to it.
Right. Like tap into that. I mean, I know it, and remember about this capacity for neuroplasticity for the brain, this ability for the brain to change. The brain can change in response to our experiences. So the more we do something, the more reflexive that behavior becomes, the more automatic. If you are reactive and you yell or you curse or you put people down, every time you see a post on Facebook that says something horrible about this candidate that you don't support and you like it and we're all guilty of that. I'm by no means claiming to be perfect because I am not. I have to check in all the time. But the more you do that, the more you solidify that behavior in the brain, you rewire the circuits in the brain, you strengthen specific circuits. We can use that to our benefit, though, by strengthening different circuits. So just by becoming aware of our behaviors, and one other thing is just change things up. I mean, a way to create change is to do things differently. Brush your teeth. I'm not going to go too much into neuroscience, but to change the brain, bring novelty, bring newness, bring something new in each day. Brush your teeth with your other hand. Put your deodorant on with another hand. Do something silly at a stoplight. Dance. Yell out the window. Make a funny face. Do something that is novel. That is how we rewire the brain. And then repetitive behavior makes those actions become reflexes. So every time you click on a mean post and like it, maybe start a pattern of something different. Hey, you know what? Even if I'm going to click on it, I'm going to stop and pause and notice that this might be a behavior I want to change. And maybe the next time you won't click on it, or you'll click on the little care button instead of the anger button.
Yeah. Care about.
you know, we can change things incrementally. So in small steps, manageable steps.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. You know, when I was posting this on social media, on Instagram, someone said, oh, it's like that victim mentality you guys are going to be talking about. And honestly, everything we talked about here today, it's almost like the opposite of that, because if we can learn to do this, it breaks those barriers down, and it's not about, you know, he said, she said, or whatever. It's about human compassion, really, is what we've been talking about, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's such a good point. It's the opposite of victimhood. We are not victims. We don't have to be. So even if we've gone through something hard, the best thing to do is to learn from it and pay it forward. So the suffering you've done, there is nothing that feels better than taking that suffering and alleviating the suffering of someone else. You know, we were talking about these women's groups where these safe spaces, and we share stories, and it feels so good to say, hey, I've been there and we got through this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know I keep bringing back in the neuroscience, but we are not victims. We have this capacity, this neuroplasticity, this ability to change our brains. We can get out of depression, get out of addiction. I'm not making it sound easy, but you know, we've all watched people. You know what, Luke, you and I are sitting here and we both started from zero. We built our businesses up. We're sitting here today. And I'm sure both of us have stories of, you know, when we felt like we were failing or we didn't know what we wanted to do with our lives. And then we've made a kind of conscious effort to bring our suffering forward or use it in a sense that will help alleviate that of other people. You're offering this Tile Money podcast and the Facebook group so that people can ask questions and not feel alone and not feel like victims. I mean, one thing about victimhood is feeling like the isolated victim, right? If you're feeling like a victim, but you're not the only victim, then all of a sudden you're feeling human connection.
Yeah.
And that brings us out of it. That immediately brings us into empathy and compassion.
Very interesting.
So, you know, it's really the opposite of victimhood. It's okay. I mean, we all feel victimized at times, but, you know, using that proactively is a wonderful tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah. I have to admit, you know, as who I am and how I am, you know, every time you say safe space, and I even said it earlier, you know, these little, I just feel weird about saying that, but
safe
I even
space in the construction industry,
but look, you know, I admitted that is what I did with the Tile Money Facebook group and this podcast. And what you said earlier, I was suffering. I was suffering because my business was suffering, and I had to study a lot and gather a lot of different things to start, you know, making changes. And then I said, I bet there's other people suffering. And, you know, sure enough, there is.
There are always other people suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. So think about that. You had this kind of innate need, just like your daughter, to alleviate the suffering of other people. And it is incredibly empowering. I talked about my nonprofit before, the program Disability Inclusion Guild, and got a dig it. And the one thing that was so amazing, and I got a lot of feedback from parents of mainstream children, not necessarily children with disabilities, how empowering it is for these children to feel like they were doing something good, innately good, not good because there's an extrinsic reward, like you got a sticker or you got a pat on the back, but because they were bringing joy to another human being. And they were uniting people and they were connecting with people. And, you know, as a parent, you're not there yet, but, you know, the kids get older and then they have their SATs and, you know, if they're going to college and, or whatever, they're judged on a lot of extrinsic things, on external things, this external reward system. And, you know, we do this all the time, right? I mean, Tile Money, it's about money. We all want to make money, but again, peel the layers down so we can support our families, so we can have a joyful life, so we can take vacations, so we can, you know, share with other people. And so it's important to reward ourselves intrinsically. And we do that when we show compassion, when we truly feel compassion and empathy. We are rewarding ourselves. And there's all kinds of stuff going on in the brain that then becomes habitual. It actually becomes a habit. Empathy gets easier the more we do it.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to share, Jonna. It's been a real pleasure again to talk to you on this subject. Yeah.
So mutual. I think we always connect on these things because these really are universal things.
It really is. And you know what it is? It's like, I don't know, you know, when we think about the future and we think about, you know, like improving the world we live in and improving humanity, improving, you know, America or whatever you want to say, whatever you want to call it, like you want to move forward, right? You want to progress. When we think about progressing, so many times, you know, we think about, you know, the new iPhone that just came out. We think about flying cars. We think about going to the moon. We think about all these things. We think about clean energy. We want to talk about all these really interesting things, but we're not talking about empathy and human connection and love. And we see what's happened. We see what's developing. So this is when Jonna says this is a safety topic, she really means it, because it's like, I've been on, you know, who of us hasn't been on a job site and a fight will break out between the electrician and the guy. And, you know, some of us, you know, the fist might start flying at some point, you know, and it's just, it is a safety issue, you know, we've all seen.
I love that you said that. It's true. Like, you know, empathy and compassion should be safety requirements on job sites. I know that sounds really, you know, cheesy if you're not listening to the whole discussion, but even the same exact concept with tile money. You know, again, we're scared to speak. We're scared to be heard because we're going to be shot down. And when it's safe to speak, that's what makes us connect with other people. When we know that we can be heard, and, you know, when someone says those times where you ask a question and they say, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And that always makes me feel so free and safe to ask things. And that's how we learn.
Yeah.
So we can give these little gifts of empathy and compassion to people, you know, in very subtle ways that make huge impacts.
Yeah. And so I, you know, and to bring it back home to the business of tile, I mean, so many of us work with contractors, we're subcontractors. We work with other trades. And even if you're in somebody's house, I mean, practicing empathy and looking to improve on this is going to impact your bottom line. I mean, we all know, that the best client is a repeat client, right? Somebody's not going to hire you. They're not going to hire you again if you come in and you're ticked off and you got a sour face all the time and you get in a fight with the electrician and you know you can't put yourself in the other trade's shoes or the homeowner's shoes and you can't hold a conversation without being upset and they're not going to hire you again. So this is definitely a subject. Just in case anybody's saying, what does this have to do with the business of tile? I got to tell you, Jonna, people tell me, only a couple people really, over the course of the 2 years I've been doing this, they say some of your stuff, or some people say all of your stuff, it has nothing to do with business. And I'm like, well, if you can't find, you know, the business nuggets inside these episodes, like I don't know what to tell you. But everything, I mean, you could go to Disneyland and you know, come up with some business knowledge. You know, I mean, you need to be looking.
You need to
be looking everywhere you are. And I really enjoy this subject and out of the box subjects like this. Because they're just not talked about enough.
Well, you're definitely have a high level of emotional intelligence. I think very innately, because business is all about relationships.
Exactly.
You know, that's what it is. That's what we can use computers and digital devices for so many things. But I mean, ultimately, business is about relationships, and you get it. You get it. Like if I go, I didn't get to the emotional intelligence stuff, but like you have all the components, you know, it's like these, one of them is internal motivation that we kind of talked about. And that is what drives you. So, and you're right. When the customer feels heard, you've got them for life. You know, they feel heard, and that is, you know, really important. It's really important.
Yeah.
And again, like I'm seeing these comments, these are so great. Sorry, I'm not good at multitasking. So I haven't really been seeing the other comments, but, you know, this is all stuff that can be applied to all relationships. And I think the most important thing is that it's now becoming safe to bring these topics and this culture into an industry that was, I'm going to call it the brotherhood, you know, this male dominated industry, and men have been, you know, forced to not show emotion. I mean, again, gender studies classes, we learn these things, and it's starting to be okay, you know, and for your little girl, you know, you're showing her that it's okay to show emotions. It's okay to, in the most macho environments, to, you know, on a job site with power tools, make it a safe space, an emotionally safe space. Actually, make it definitely with power tools. You want it to be an emotionally safe space.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's wild. Well, I didn't mean to rush you on the emotional intelligence.
No.
Was there anything else we forgot?
I was going to go through the components, but we'll get to this. You and I can talk forever. We'll do this another time. There are like five components of emotional intelligence, just to understand what it is. One of them is empathy. There's also self-awareness, like understanding our feelings, self-regulation, which we talked about, how we can use the body to control the mind or the mind to control the mind. That internal motivation system. So, you know, finding, and really important, I'm just going to throw this out there, internal rewards. There's been so much recent research done on what kind of moves us into action when we are blocked or scared. And what really creates success. And when I say success, I mean in all aspects of your life. And right. What really successful people tend to have is this ability to use an intrinsic or internal reward system that actually creates that dopamine. If you've all heard of the neurochemical dopamine, people think that's about the reward of, you know, getting that car, getting that job, getting that promotion. But dopamine is made when we reward our effort. So when you are failing, you can't say to yourself, great job, because it's not sincere. Mm. But when you are failing, when you are trying, you're, you know, struggling with a repeated behavior or just not being able to get out of a rut, whether it's work or an addictive habit or a relationship problems, if you can tune in and reward yourself for the effort, literally say, I am proud of myself for the effort. Mm-hmm. Those who are able to reward effort, and there's true neuroscience research behind this, those are the ones who are able to move out of this state of being stagnant and move into action. And you will never, I don't care how much money you make, once you get that car, once you get that promotion, then you're going to seek the next thing. That's how dopamine works. That's actually why we have addictions. It's this dopamine circuit in the brain. But to learn how to reward yourself for effort and be compassionate with yourself, self-compassion, is probably the best tool. Once you a lot of times when you can't find compassion for someone else, go back, ask what you're threatened by, and have a little talk with yourself. Find self-compassion. And once you do that, you're able to find compassion and empathy for other people and stop the story of self-doubt and all those other things. So,
well, those are
there's my babble.
No, that's a topic actually, I mean, that I think is very close and dear to all tile installers. I mean, perfectionists, you know, we beat ourselves up over this tile that we just didn't get right. And everybody else loves it, of course. And you know, we don't, you know, so that is very interesting, because if we can learn to reward ourselves for, hey, look at how far we got today. I mean, even if you put one tile on the wall, I remember, you know, we've all had those stories where, when you're starting out or when you're doing something really intricate, I mean, you only did 5 or 6 square feet in the day, but it was what it was, you know, it had to be that way. It's on some jobs, right?
Definitely. So we let perfection get in the way of good.
Yeah, exactly. I love that saying.
It's so true. We all have that. And we're human, so we're never going to be perfect.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Jonna. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Luke. I love talking to you. Love this group.
Right on.
So grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Have a good weekend.
Bye, everyone.
All right, tile friends. I really enjoyed this discussion. I hope you did too. And, you know, it's such an important subject. I mean, only if we accept this and work on this individually can we move forward together as a group, I feel like. And so I really hope that you enjoyed this. And I'm looking forward to your comments and the discussions that will develop in the Tile Money group. All right, tile friends. Well, that's it for this week. I'll talk to you next week. I want to thank all my Patreons. If you want to support the work I am doing, you can find the link wherever you're listening to this or watching this, and you can become a monthly Patreon. I am making some shorter episodes just for my Patreon members and supporters. So until next week, I want you to stay profitable out there. Talk to you soon.